Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now Wednesday night. Time for Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study. I'm your host, Diane Adams. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you as we explore the Word of God together. Tonight, our lesson is going to come from Revelation, the third chapter, and it's the book in the Bible that has the last three churches that God gave the message to Jesus. Jesus gave the message to his special angels, and his angels gave the message to John to write down. This is a lesson for all of us. The title of the lesson tonight is just God is telling all of us something. So those who have an ear to hear, let us hear what the Word has to say. As always, we have to open and go to the throne of grace because God has been so good to us. And he said in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your request known. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up the mic, and you'll be able to come on the air and pray. If not, I'll do it. Madison is on his way. Well, really, they just landed in California. Him and his mother went to California. So he's not with us tonight. But I'll go ahead and open with prayer so we could go ahead and explore the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the love of our souls, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. Dear Lord God, I come to you with an humble heart. Dear God, my goal is to give you glory with what I do. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you have your way with this lesson on tonight. Use me, your vessel. Lord, I'm asking for blessings for all of the people that join in week after week. Dear God, give them the blessings that they in need of. Help them, dear God. Find favor upon their lives, dear God, and let them know that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, I just want to say thank you. When we look at everything that's going on in the world, Lord, we have to trust you that you know best. Lord, we realize that you're in control and nothing happens unless you orchestrate or allow it. And, Lord, we say in our prayer, not our will, but your will. But you ask that we make our petitions known. Lord, I'm asking for your mercy and I'm asking for your grace. Lord, I know you're long-suffering. You're merciful and you're good. Be with us, dear God. Guide us in the way that we should go. Lord, and I'm going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, in the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I'm going to play a song, and you listen to the music. Be prayerful. You know, whenever you go to church or you go to a Bible study, you should always go with a spirit of expectancy, you know, and you let the Holy Ghost know you expect to receive. And you gonna put yourself in position to receive. And then, you know, you could get what God wants you to have from it. But right now I'm going to play the song. And when the song is over, we'll come back and explore the Word together. I guess my voice and my tone is a little different because I have a little baby with me tonight. And he's sitting up on my lap and I'm trying to keep him quiet. But, you know, God work all things out. And he's sitting there and he's just looking, but he's not making noise. So it's really, really, really a blessing. So I'm going to play the record. And the name of the record is I Understand. Because, you know, sometime and with everything that's going on around us, you know, we might think, where is God? Because I had a young man from the prison call me the other day. He said, you know, I believe in God and I trust God. He said, but, you know, look what keep happening to the black man, you know, and he was feeling like it just don't seem fair. And, you know, he said, I'm not trying to question God. And I guess within his heart he may have pondered on, do God really understand how people feel for injustice? But I came to tell you tonight that God understands. God knows what's going on, and he have the answer for every question. God also is in control, and he's going to work everything out for our good. We have to trust him. So the name of the song is I Understand. And once the song is through, I'll come back and we'll explore the word of God together. Be blessed. Yes, in trying times that we are going through, you know, God is telling you, I understand nothing can happen in this world that can take God by surprise. You might ask the question, why and how, but it's the world we live in, and evil is on every side. So with that being said, for those who just came in, we're in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, and the title is God is trying to tell us something. And anyone who has an ear, hear what the Lord is saying. I'm going to go ahead and do an introduction tonight. And like I said, this is the last three churches of the seven churches in Asia that God gave the message. This is the message, the letters to the seven churches in Asia. We spoke about on the other lessons in the first and the second chapter that the book of Revelation is God revealing to us the things that had been done, that is going on now, and the things that will come in the future. God will never let his people be in the dark, and he decided to write the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible, the 66th book. And he wrote it last because everything that he's talking about, hopefully you're familiar with it. There's nothing in Revelation that has not already been said, and many of the things is happening now, and some have come to pass. And God said, you know, I just want to give you a heads up. So if you read the book of Revelation, you won't be surprised at the things that happen around you and the way people act and the way the world is and the world leaders and the people that has the power, how they abuse it and all of that's in there. But God is saying, nothing is in this book that I haven't said before. And when I say some of the things in Revelation, I'm going to refer it back to another scripture and another book in the Bible, and you'll see, you know, just what I'm saying. But God will never leave his people in the dark. You see, the vision John received opens with instructions for him to write to the seven churches. He both commended them for their strengths and warned them about their flaws. Isn't that always in the Bible? Each letter was directed to a church that existed, but also speaks to the conditions of the church in our day and each of us as individuals, right now, before now, and all the way through history. We must constantly fight against the temptation to become loveless. You know, they got a lot of people working around that's loveless. We know there's immorality. There's compromising of the faith or casual about your faith and how to walk in the new life that's been given to us by God, the gift of grace through the blood of Jesus. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible says, how could you, after receiving a new life, becoming a new creature, decide to stay or pick up back the habits or the things that wasn't pleasing to God before you were new? You see, this revelation is both a warning to Christians who have grown, you know, nonchalant, but it is also encouragement to those who are faithful, enduring the struggles in this world. You know, people who have decided to be committed to the things of God, people who have decided that no matter what, they're not going to turn back, people who decided to say it don't look good, feel good, taste good, or smell good, but I'm going to continue to trust God. You see, this book also reassures us that goodwill triumphs over evil. God triumphs over evil, and you can triumph over evil as well. This book also gives us hope as we face difficult times and give us guidance when we are wavering in our faith. Christ's message to the church is a message of hope for all believers in every generation. Remember, God gave the message to Christ. Christ gave it to his special angel, and the angel gave it to John to write down. And we're going to go into the verses now. So if I'm in the third chapter, and I pray that you have your Bibles, and I'm going to read the first, second, third verse, and then we're going to expound on it. And the verse reads as follows. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things said he that had the seven spirits of God. Now, right there when they talk about the seven spirits of God, it's talking about the Holy Ghost, but the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the full sevenfold ministry of the Holy Ghost. So when they say the spirits of God, they're talking about the Holy Ghost in his fullness, including all of his ministries. And the seven stars refers to the angel, the messenger, the leaders of the church. That's what it represents. So it's saying that he that had the seven spirits of God is given a message, which is the seven stars to the churches. And then it goes on to say, I know thy work, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. He said, yeah, you say you're a Christian, but you're dead as can be, is what the scripture is saying. But it says, be faithful and strengthen the things which remembered, which remain, that are ready to die. You know, he said, think on the things that remain, the good things that remain. You know, we might not be everything we want to be, and we might not be where we want to be, but we have some good things in us. We have some things that, like we always say, you know, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. So for those things, hold on to that and continue to grow and get some more things to add to it. He said, be careful and strengthen the things which remain, the good that is, build on it, that are ready to die. He said, because if you don't, it's going to die. Because if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. He said, so do that. Then he says, be strengthened. Y'all be prayerful. He said, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. He said, remember, when you heard it, you received it, and you repented. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on. I will come on you as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour I will come upon thee. What the scripture is saying, the church in Sardi, the danger of spiritual, they had a danger of spiritual death. In this study, we will look at the church in the light of the modern day churches. See, when we read these scriptures and going over these things we saying, put it in view and see if there's some churches in these times that you know, and put it in view of you and the condition that you're in. You know, we could say who we are. We could, you know, say who we want, act like what we want people to think we are, but God truly knows. He truly knows. Jesus says Sardi had a reputation of being alive, but it was actually dead. You know, they talked the talk. They walked the walk when necessary, you know, in front of man. You know, do you be, you know, a righteous Christian in church on Sunday? How do you act when you come out the doors or be on Monday? And see, that's what God was saying, that they, you know, they had a reputation of being alive, having it going on, but they were actually dead. They had become a church in name only, a pretend church. We have pretend churches, and we also have pretend Christians. We have people that pretend about everything they do. They only act a certain way when they want you to think that they are a certain way. but that's not who they are. You know, they say character is when you do what's right when nobody's looking. And personality is like perfume. You put it on and you take it off. But Jesus was given this lesson, and he wrote it to the church in Sardi, but he's saying that's the condition of many churches and many people from the beginning of the church age all the way through history. And that's just the way it is. And he's writing a message for us to get it and do better. You see, we have to decide, is God God or if he's not? You know, some of the things we do in our lives and at certain times in our life and the way we act, we're saying God is not God. So God is either God or it's not. And it's really dangerous to put on a show because God looks at the heart, your attitude, and your intent. Jesus tells us here, there is still some good in this church. He's telling you there's good also in you. He said, but we got to just do better. Because once we know better, we do better. You know, there's a scripture that says, better to not know than to know, hallelujah, and not do it. And the scriptures always encourages us to not just be a hearer of the word, but become a doer of the word. And that's all this letter is saying in so many words, written to the church of Sardi, but it's also written to everybody that's in this kind of condition. Jesus is telling them to wake up and stay awake. You see, they was wealthy, and they had so much comfort to that it had lured them to sleep. You know how people have a lot of things going on, and they have so much they begin to believe that they don't need nothing and nobody, and that they accomplished all that they have on their own, and they're not thinking about the things of God, but just what they want to do, and they think that their money is going to last, and it's going to hold them to the end of time, and that's what he's telling you. He's saying, your money done lured you to sleep, you know. And he said, you know, all of those things is temporal. So you have to watch what you hold on to. And you should ask yourself why. Because God is either God or is not. You see, their self-satisfaction caused them to die spiritually. Jesus is saying, use what have been given unto you for the kingdom, because I'm coming back as a thief in the night. Nobody know the hour, and only what you do for Christ will last. You see, when Jesus come back, all of your money, your wealth, your education, all of that's going to pass away. So what is going to be left? The things that you did for Christ. Here again, Jesus is saying, your works at the beginning was all right. He says, so go back to that when you was with the pure word of God, and that's the best position you could be in. And if I look at verses 4, 5, and 6, it say, thou has a few names. He said, there's a few names, meaning there's a few people in Sardi which has not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. Hallelujah. For they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. And then he always leave out the last thing in the letter when he write to him, he who has an ear, let him hear. Because he's saying, this is what I'm telling you for your own good. And I'm telling you that you still have time. And I'm telling you, you need to get it right. You see, not all of the people in Saudi was bad and defiled. Those who were not, he said, they are worthy. And their names will remain. He said, your name is going to remain in the book of life. That's us, and that's guaranteed that our salvation is secure, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's what he said. He said, you're worthy if you just hold on, and he will confess your name before the Father. This is a message for all of us because we have ears. And then the scripture said, those who have ears, let him hear what the scripture had to say. You see, in the 7th verse, the 8th verse, all the way to the 13th verse said, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia writes. Now, out of the 7 churches, I told you that 2 of the churches didn't have any rebuke, any discipline, any errors. And the church of Philadelphia was one of them. So they say, these things said he that is holy, he that is true, and that has the key of David. What they saying? We know that Jesus is from the line of David and the key of David. When they give reference to this, they saying that Jesus had the key of David, saying he had the key. The keys, and what it can do is the keys can open the door. And then it goes on to say, no man could shut and shut it, and no man can open. That he has all the power, and it's in reference to your salvation. The door, the keys that he have when he opened the door, when you open your heart and accepted Christ, and you came into the kingdom, and you came into the body of Christ, you were in. Jesus said, and I got the keys. And once you was in, can't nothing take you out. And once you, those who are out, can't nothing put them in unless they went through the process that's already established. You see, that's what they're saying right there. He said, I know your works. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Jesus is saying, I know y'all getting weak, and sometimes you have good strength, and sometimes you feel weak, and you beat up on yourself because you believe that you walk in faith, and yet some things that happen just overwhelm you. It's not that you lost. It's not that you love God less. He said, the scripture lets you know, for I know thou hast a little strength. It's going to be sometime like that in our life. We are human. We are living in flesh. Flesh is going to crave and want what flesh wants. The record that I play, God say, I understand. But you see, when you're weak, even in your weakness, you are strong. And it's never predicated on how strong you is, but how strong he is. It's never predicated on your power, but his power. And he's telling you, I know you have a little strength and has kept my word and has not denied my name. He said, I know this. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. You know, the synagogue of Satan, when they're speaking of right here, is the place of worship where God is not Lord. Which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. He said, behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet. Don't this seem like the scripture that has already been said, that I will make your enemies your footstool? I'm telling you, nothing in the book of Revelation is new, but God is just letting you know and giving you, he's reiterating everything that he said, that you can have a chance to get it right. He said, I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved thee. Because thou have kept the word of my patience, I also shall keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He said, I'm going to keep you from all of that He said, first of all, I done grant you the spirit to help you with temptation, because the Bible said there's no temptation that is common to man. There's no temptation that can happen to you that is not common to man. And God has given us a way to escape from each and every one of them. But in this particular scripture, he's talking about the temptation once Jesus come back and all the live in Christ going to go up with him in a rapture, and the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And once they are all taken away from this world, Satan's going to have reign for so long, and it's going to be so hard. That's where people will begin to receive the mark of the beast. And those who have realized after that time and want to follow Christ, it's going to be so hard for them. And he said, thou hast kept my word and my patience. I also shall keep them from the hour of temptation. That hour is what he's talking about, because we won't be here. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He said, I got you from that. Because since you decided to follow me and accept me, and you are mine, and I'm your Lord, he said, you know, you're going to be gone when this comes. It's going to be those who only trying to get it right. At that time, he said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take away your crown. When you look at this, you know, sometimes you're in a situation and people will make you so mad till you will do something. Don't never let nobody take your crown. Don't never let nobody take your peace. Don't let them do what the scripture is telling you. You know, don't let them take your crown. You know, some people say, I'm a Christian, but she don't know me. Why pick up that old man? Why let somebody push you that far? And then it says, he that overcome, will I make a pillar in the temple of my Lord, and he shall go no more out. That means a pillar is something that's permanent. Come on, y'all. And he said, I'll make you a pillar. He said, and there will be no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. See, I didn't have to tell you what was the city of God, because the Bible explains itself so many times. We just have to read and see. He said, the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. The church in Philadelphia was doing it and doing it right. He said, but just keep holding on. Hold on to your confession and your faith, and don't turn back. And that was the message, most of the message, you know, for them. So you see, the problem that the church of Philippians had, they had the danger of failing to advance. You see, this church was doing what was expected of them. They were doing good, but they were not growing. It is so important that we as Christians grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and become more mature day by day. You know, they have people in a church that could be 93 years old. They don't know the first book in the Bible is Genesis and the last book is Revelation. They haven't grown. So Christian growth is so important. The Philadelphian was doing good, but they was failing to advance. Here Jesus gave a promise of the key of David, as I told you before. And the key of David represents Jesus' authority to open and give the invitation to his further kingdom, which is salvation for us, eternal life. And they were Jews who believed that they had spiritual privileges by birth of being a chosen nation of God. God did choose the Jews to be his chosen people. But they had to do it and get it right too, not just because they were Jew. They thought that because they were circumcised, that it would allow them entrance into the kingdom. Jesus said, all these things are outward. Come on, y'all. Oh, I serve on a deacon board. Outward. Oh, I do whatever and whatever. You know, there's so many things that we do that's outward, you know, and it's good to be in service and it's good to be in steward. It's good to use your talent, but don't get it twisted. You can't get to heaven just on talent. You got to get to heaven through the blood of Jesus. So he was saying all of the Jews who thought they was this, that, and everything because they were Jew, and then they believed in circumcision to such high degree. He said, you know, all of that's fair and good. He said, but all of that is outward. It's outward. He said, but a true Jew is one that we see inward, and that circumcision is not of the flesh. But, you know, we now ask that God circumcise our heart in the spirit and not in a letter. And then we know you're real when you're not praised. Those praise is not of men. Come on, God, come on, but of God. Christ will make those who love Satan and not God worship you at your feet. Don't that sound like making your enemy your footstool? This sounds like scriptures you done heard before, I'm sure you. When God says he's going to rise you up and he's gonna place you above many and he's going to make you a ruler over the nation. What I'm saying is nothing in this book is new. It's all been said. And one of the reasons God allowed Revelation to be the last book in the Bible because he hoped you would have got familiar with the other 65 and then you could understand the 66. You see, and when he talked about being a pillar, you know, plenty of times they speak of people in your community as a pillar of the community or a pillar of the church, which just mean that they are strong and are holding up the church. Jesus will make his people pillars, which is strong, durable, stable in the house of God. He said, I'm going to do all of that for you. And that was the letter to the Philippians. He's saying, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say. All of us has ears, so this should let you know that this message is for all of us. And when we look at 14, 15, and even 16, it says, and unto the angel of the house of Laodicea, he writes, these things said the Amen. The Amen in it, hallelujah. And, you know, when you see Amen, you know, plenty of times in church people say something and they holler. The congregation say Amen or they Amen everything. Don't ever just Amen things just because it was said. When you say Amen, you're saying that you agree with what's being said, that you believe in what's being said. So if somebody says something that doesn't line up with the word of God, or if it's monkey shine, or if it's just whatever, don't just say Amen. Save your amens to touch and agree with the word of God. And that scripture right there said, Amen. They want to know that this is it. This is good. This is pure. And the faithful and the true witness, I'm back in the scripture, the beginning of creation of God, he told the church in Laodicea, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou rent cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spruce thee out of my mouth. Come on now, y'all. You know, the Bible teaches, you know, you can't, you're hot or cold. You see, that church in Laodicea, what was their problem? That they was in the danger of being lukewarm. They only wanted to do the things of God when it was convenient, if it didn't get in the way of what they wanted to do or not. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. Lukewarm. Do you know any lukewarm people? Only do the things of God when they want to. go to church when they want to, pray when they want to, help someone else when they want to. Come on, y'all, read the Bible when they want to. Lukewarm. So this was to the church of Laodiceans, and you know some churches that don't even have Sunday school and Bible study. Lukewarm. You can't serve two masters. And this is how the church of Laodicea was. And 17 say, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that are wrench and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee. Let me go back to that one. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and they have wants for nothing and knoweth not. That's the point I knew it had to be in there. They know not that they are wrenched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He's saying that's how they felt about themselves. They was rich, and they had so much, and they didn't need nothing. Probably thought they didn't need nobody, and not even God. But he said, I want to let you know, you ain't got it all going on. Matter of fact, you're miserable. And you're poor, maybe not in money, but you're poor in spirit, and you're blind, you can't see, and you're naked, you haven't been clothed with the righteousness of God. That's what he's telling him. He's saying, I counsel thee to buy me gold. And when he said, try it in a fire, that thou may be rich. He said, try what I got. Buy the gold from me that has been tried in a fire. And maybe thou will be rich. And put on the white garments that I have, that thou may be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You see, the church in Laodicea was famous for its wealth. You know, they had a lot of medical schools. And they produced an eye salve that took care of a lot of eye problems. So they was, you know, they made a lot of money from it, and they was known from it. And they had, there was a textile interest with cloth and things like that. It's amazing that Jesus used these words to paint the picture, but you got to know what was going on for you could really see the picture. You see, when he say, buy gold of me, he said, if you buy gold of me, you're going to have real spiritual treasures. He's saying gold is a symbolic for virtue. So if you buy gold from me, you're going to have real spiritual blessing, and you're going to be a virtuous person. You see, gold is seen, but spiritual treasures are unseen, talking about faith. It says try it in the fire. What that mean, when you try it in the fire and you come out and you still standing, that mean you have righteousness. And then he said, put on the white garment. You see, when Jesus come back, he's going to have a white robe, and all of us is going to receive our white robe. He said, put on that garment. He said, you know the eye salve that y'all have, and it heals, and it take care of problems, and it make y'all a lot of money. He said, but use my medicine that will allow you to truly see the truth. You see, that's all Jesus is saying. This is not no book that can't be explained. It's not a book that you can't understand. It's not a book that try to spook you out. It's just God's giving a message to his people for all generations. And we will be dealing under this message and with this message, which started the day of Pentecost, because that's when the church was established. And this is called the church age. And the church age will not end until Jesus come back again. Hallelujah. So these conditions these churches have and these conditions that these people have, it's going to be here. is going to be here till Jesus come back again. So, you know, if you have an ear, hear what the Spirit has to say. And maybe you could just do it different. You may could get it different. You may could be different. Because, you see, you're just responsible for you. Hallelujah. And God is telling us, you know, some people were lukewarm. Some had forgot their first love. Some wasn't hot or wasn't cold, and some was spiritual dead, and some was relying on their money, and some was just doing anything they wanted to do and not lining it up with the will of God. That's how it is right now today. And that book of Revelation was written over 2,000 years ago. And the same thing, these churches was in the Old Testament. No, I'm sorry. These churches was in the New Testament, because the church wasn't established till after Pentecost. But it's been that long, and the things is still happening. But this book of Revelation is God taking time to give you something to use as a guide, something to look at, something to hold on to, that you could maybe do it better. If you have a ear after each letter, in each letter, he said, hear what the Spirit is saying. And then if we get to 19, they say, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's all he's telling us. You know, I have things in my life that God chasing me on, and he rebukes the things that I do. You know, he always hate the sin, but he loved the person. And sometimes I get chasing, you know, when God have to give you a little tip-tap. He said, then when you do what you shouldn't do, repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he will be with me. Hallelujah. He says, many as I love, I rebuke. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible say that God chastises his children, because if he don't chastise you, it's because you're not his child and you're a bastard. That's scripture, y'all, in the Bible. Nothing new. You see, God's purpose and discipline is never to punish us, but to bring us back to him. You know, there's things that happen in our life. There's trials, tribulations. And sometimes they come in our lives at our own hand, because we do things and that becomes the consequences of our actions. Sometimes it's to mature us, to get us from one place to another. And really and truly, sometimes it may only be a test. The Laodiceans church was complacent because they were rich. They felt self-satisfied, but they didn't have Christ's presence among them. You see what happened? Jesus knocked at the doors of their heart, but they were so busy enjoying worldly pleasures, hallelujah, that they didn't notice that he was trying to get in. Isn't that how all of the unsaved people in the world are? You going out, you witnessing to them. They go to church sometime. They cut the TV on and hear it saying, come to Jesus. But they so wrapped up in the world that they don't even notice that he's giving them an invitation. They may notice it, but then they ignore it. When you ignore it, it's just like you never noticed it. See what I'm telling you? The book of Revelation is nothing new. And you could put it to everything, you know, right here. And it's been going on, since the beginning of time. At the end of each of these letters, those churches, the believers, were urged to listen and take to heart what was written to them. You know, I did a real research on the seven churches and all of the conditions that was in the churches, and I saw which ones I was, you know, that fit me. You know, I think one of the first churches that we did, that church, you know, had turned away from their first love. That's mean when you accepted Christ and you got excited, you had a zeal. It wasn't according to knowledge, but you was gung-ho. You wanted to read all about Jesus. You wanted to go everywhere they was talking about Jesus, and then you get laxed. Come on now. You know, lukewarm, doing it when you want and when you don't want. You got to be committed. You got to ask yourself, how committed are you? You have to see where the conditions in some of these churches might be in your church. Yes, these conditions are in the churches. And I know they are because God is telling us that they're there. He used those seven churches. They were not the only churches in that time. But he took those seven churches because when they was established and where they was placed, they was in a route. And for all other reason, because that's the conditions that he know the churches throughout history is going to be in. You're going to fall in one of them categories. Come on now, y'all. And remember, out of the seven, two was where he could approve. But yet, the ones that he approved, he said, you got to keep going now. And you got to get better than you were before. He said, but you're doing what you're supposed to do. And I know you're weak. He said, but you keep holding on. You see, although a different message was addressed to each church, all the messages contained encouragement. He started the letter off giving him encouragement. He turned around and gave him warnings. Then he gave him principles to build upon. And at the end, he gave him hope. If you hold on, your name not going to be blotted out the book of life. If you hold on, you're going to receive your right robe. If you hold on, you know, you're gonna rule in the kingdom. If you hold on, I'ma confess your name to the Father. If you hold on, hallelujah, you're gonna be a pillar in a temple. Hold on. That's what these things are saying. You see, each letter acts more. Each letter speaks directly to you or your church. And it tells us the things of God we may not be doing. Hallelujah. And it tells us the things that we are doing and should stop doing. Come on now. And then it makes you question, what is your spiritual condition? And as I close tonight, I'm just going to read verse 21 because this is the end of the message to the seven churches in Asia. Seven different churches with seven different conditions. God is saying this is what it is, and it has been, and it's still going to be through history. But I have to let you know, because I don't want you to think it's all good and it's not. And I want you to know what you're doing right to keep doing it. He says, so I'm giving you this, the last book, my last writing. We should take this very serious, because God took time to make the 66 books to let us know what he has done, what he was doing, is doing now, and what he promised to do. He also showed us who he is, who his son is, and who the Holy Spirit really is. Now, that's all through the Bible. But he said, I'm going to tell you again, in case you didn't get it. I'm going to tell you again so I can remind you. He said, I'm telling you again in his book of Revelation, I'm revealing what has not been revealed. I'm giving you what's going to happen so that you wouldn't be in the dark. He said, listen, because I'm trying to tell you something. And as I close tonight, I'm going to read the 21st verse. It said, to him that overcometh, hallelujah, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Jesus said, I had to overcome too. I walked down there. You know, I saw injustice. I was treated unfair, you know. So you don't have no patent on that. He said that he that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set set with my Father on his throne. He said, just like what God has for me, because I'm his child, that's what he has for you. And then it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And now I can say, that's hope. That's hope. And that's our lesson for tonight. And it is amazing. This baby's been sitting in my lap since 8:15 and haven't went to sleep. But he never made noise that you guys couldn't get what the Spirit had to say. You see, these are things that makes me know who God is. It lets me know that if I decide to take care of God's work, God's going to take care of mine. And you see, whatever God put in your hand to do, he will make provisions. And this let me know he's in control. That's been an hour and 15 minutes. And a child has been sitting in my lap, not sleep. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know he's working all things out together for the good. You got to trust him. And it amazed me because it ain't that I'm so good. And it ain't that I do everything oh so right. But God does what he wants. And God has a purpose and a design for all of our lives. We have to submit and obey. You'll never be good enough for what he's going to give and have you to do. You'll never be smart enough. Come on now. Because if we could achieve things by these things, Jesus wouldn't have had to die because we would be able to get it. But because we couldn't in and of ourselves reach any of those peaks and heights, God sent his son. So when he gives you something to do, you could question why me. You know, you look back over your life, you could see that the things that you achieved are your successes and even your failures, that God had his hand in it. If you want to be true, and God is not through with you yet. God wrote these letters to the churches because he wanted his people to be encouraged. Understand the errors of their ways, and then see the hope that he has supplied for you. Hallelujah. There is no more and no less. God is a good God. Why would he make it so complex where you couldn't understand it? What good would it do? And I don't expect you to understand the whole book of Revelation with the first, second, and third chapter, but I pray that I pricked your mind enough that you want to go and go further. It is nothing new in the book of Revelation that hasn't been said before. God is reiterating what he has said in the past. Some of it he's showing when it comes through, because when he told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, this is God letting you know that Jesus' word came true, because these are the churches in Asia Minor. Come on now, y'all. He said, I said it back then, but look, this is it right now. You see, God always gives us evidence to know what he's saying is real and giving us enough evidence to believe he is who he is and to trust him. It is now the 9:30 hour, and if anybody have any comments, I would please ask that you press the one button on your machine, and I'll open it up. If someone want to lead us out in prayer, you could press the one button on your machine, and I'll open it up, and you could pray. We don't know the last time or the last opportunity that we're going to have to pray or do something for God. And I want you to know each time that God is, you have the opportunity to pray or witness or give word of encouragement or to help somebody. Don't you know that God is setting up those opportunities for you? Do you know it's bigger than you and what you think at the moment or why you don't or want? And I'm not trying to just say this to get you to pray because I need somebody to pray. But I'm just telling you the word of God. Every opportunity that God sends our way, when it comes upon your heart to give, when it comes upon your heart to pray, when it comes up or when the invitation comes and we pass it by, we don't know the last time or the last opportunity we'll have. So if anybody would like to make a comment, have a question, or would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going to go ahead and pray. And that'll be our program for tonight. I just want each and every one of you guys to know how much I really love you. I don't even know you personally, but I know you're calling up because I could see it in the studio. And I thank God for each and every one of you, how you take time out of your busy schedule. You know, you chasing the word of God, and God finds favor in that. But we can't just get the word. We have to become doers of the word. That's what he was telling the churches. But I want you to know that God loves each and every one of you personally. And see, God knows what you are working with. Come on now. God knows. You know, everybody ain't working with the same thing. And everybody don't have the same abilities. But God expects each and every one to use what we got. And I'm going to go ahead and pray right now. And if the Lord said the same, we'll be back next Wednesday. Same time, same station. God wrote the letter to the churches, but it's also a letter for us. And it's also a letter for the churches that are operating. And one of the reasons that John used symbols and stuff, because he was getting the letters, trying to get the letters off the island to the different churches, and if he just talked straight out, they would knew he was still trying to represent God or trying to build up God's kingdom. So that's why the symbols is there. But, you know, even when Jesus talked in parables, he said it's not for them to get it, but it's for us. So, you know, whenever you read the book of Revelation, pray to the Holy Spirit to give you illumination and revelation and wisdom to understand. And you can look up the symbols when you get in a certain book and they're different symbols. And I found some the other day, and it was just so amazing. It was so sweet. Yet people always was taught that the book of Revelation is full of bitterness. But as I read, I find the sweetness, and it is sweeter than a honeycomb. And I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction for the night and do a prayer. And see you guys on next week, if the Lord say the same. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for giving us your word, dear God. Thank you for your holy Bible, our daily instruction for daily living. Lord, I thank you that you inspired man to write the word of God that will strengthen us, encourage us, lead us, guide us, correct us, reproach us, because that's how we're going to get strong and become the pillar that they talked about in a book tonight, a pillar that represents strength and steadfastness and, come on, hallelujah. I thank you, dear God. Your word is all that and so much more. Dear God, give us the desire to want to know more about you. Give us the desire to want to do the things you ask of us to do. Give us more desire to love one another, dear God, as you have loved us. God, right now, I thank you for your son, Jesus, who's going to allow us to sit on the throne with him. Hallelujah. I thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit that is indwelled in us to lead and guide us in all truth, to give us illumination and revelation of your divine word, to call things to our memory when it is necessary. I thank you that you're such a complete God. There's nothing that I could ever need that you don't have. Hallelujah. I thank you that you're willing and you're able. And you're going to work all things out together for the good. And I don't have to worry about it because you have the power to do it. Hallelujah. I thank you, dear God, for each and every person that calls in. I thank you for their commitment, dear God. I thank you for their steadfastness. I'm asking that you look down upon each and every one of them and their families, dear God. Bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. Help them to continue to hold on to your unchanging hand. Strengthen them, dear God, where they may be weak. Lift them up where they may be down. Dear God, open the doors for them that need to be opened and shut doors that need to be closed. Heavenly Father, you're a way maker, a heart fixer, and a mind revelator, and a mind regulator. And that's why I can say I love you, Lord. Lord, I ask you for your grace and your mercy to abound within us and through us. Lord, I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. That's our program for tonight. And I pray that each and every one of you be blessed. And sometime during the week, just put in a prayer for the Wednesday night Bible study on next week, and then you'll get to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. Because, you know, the Bible says those who ask not have not because they ask not. Let God know you're looking for Wednesday with a spirit of expectancy that he will show up and show off. That's it for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, this is the last call. And if not, I'm going to say to you good night. God bless and keep you till we meet again. And always remember, all glory belongs to God. Good night.